All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, September 27th of 2024. Looking ahead, we have a big 12-game MLB main slate on this Friday here, and then we all obviously have a ton of DFS action over the weekend, so it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and we do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. Also, as a reminder, we do have the, I don't know if I said this, I forgot. We have the Build Review Show going live at 5 p.m. Eastern here. We do that show Monday through Friday. We do already have plenty of people signed up today, but if anybody ever wants to get signed up for that show, all you got to do, drop your DK username in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server, and I will add you to the queue for a future show. But with that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up. Plenty of questions to get us started today. First question, hola Andrew. I was reviewing my lineups last night and noticed I had some very lower projected players as last fill in for showdown. Was using the way you do your process on filtering players under three, but still got some on my best lineups. Do I need to filter them post-build as well as I did only pre-build? Thanks. So really quickly, I do talk about filtering players that are like projected for less than three. I only do that for classic slates. I'm not doing that for showdowns. For showdowns, I'm allowing lower projected players in my lineup, so I don't want to give anybody the wrong impression about what I'm doing there. The other thing is that I don't do that for defenses. So if you ever like look at like the filter that I'll write for NFL, and I'll just show it here. So we go to, you know, the main slate for this weekend. I'll usually just have something in here. I don't know what this one is. It might be this one. With my projection greater than three and just uncheck defenses. So that's just something I'll do there. You don't have to do it. You know, you're probably getting rid of like super low players anyways that you're not going to get very much of at all. Oh, this is ownership. Let's see. Let's reset this to default. And, you know, we're talking about players who like probably won't even get in your lineups anyways. So I just X them, right? So that's who we're talking about here. If you are setting this filter pre-build, you should not be getting those players in the post-build, right? So if you did this for showdown, I could see a way that something could go wrong where maybe, like, let's just pull up a showdown for this weekend. Maybe you only had it for like the captain, but not the flex or something like that, right? So if I come in here and then I say, hey, show me players with, you know, my projection greater than three, but so here, you know, I have players projected greater than three for the captain, but then if I go over to the flex, you know, I'm allowing all players. I would allow all players anyways. I would not set that filter. So that's just some notes there. I don't know exactly what happened, but if you are deliberately putting a filter to X players, you see them unchecked pre-build, you build lineups, and then somehow those unchecked players are getting into your lineups, that would be considered a bug. And I would go and report a problem and let us know that's happening to you. So just some notes there. All right, next question. Hello, Andrew. Thanks for the hard work you guys do to make a great product. Appreciate the kind words there. I recently switched to Ultimate and have been following the profit plan. I have started maxing out the mini max, which I had never really played before. because it's so top heavy, I'm finding that I almost always win back just about half my entries on a consistent basis. I understand that the goal is to tread water until you bink. Just curious about your thoughts and how you approach the mini max. Yeah, this is like pretty normal, right? If we go back, and by the way, this should be working now. If I go back to like last Sunday, and let's see if we can get this to work. So let's go sort by entries. So we made some changes to Contest Flashback this week to better handle larger contests. And I've been under the impression as of today that I can load some of these larger contests. Keep in mind, the bigger the contest, the longer it will take to load. So sometimes you'll get this like page unresponsive. If you just click wait and you basically wait long enough, it will get it all. But loading 356,000 entries is like a pretty big task. So sometimes you just got to be a little bit patient with it. But it looks like it's almost loaded here because we just got like a second screen. So probably something better to do, like, you know, on your own time is load up these like really big slates. I probably should have just loaded like the 47K mini max or something like that just to save time. But I was curious. So given I think that this is going to take a little bit longer, let's see if we can load up even like the 28K mini max to save some time. See if this loads. I think I messed it up. But anyways, I want to show something specific to the Minimax, which is why I'm trying to load one of these. So let's go back. 150s. Let's do this 28K. Okay, get it loaded. So if we go into users, right? Let's close some of these other windows. And then let's just look at 150 maxers, sorted by sim ROI. So something that I don't talk about a bunch, but I know Jordan does. Where is it? Let's find it. Okay, maybe sim median. Okay, sim median profit. That's the one I'm looking for. Okay, sim median profit. So what sim median profit is this is like your 50th percentile outcome as to how much money you win or lose half the time, right? And what he compares is like your sim the median profit, right, is what you can expect on average. The sim 99th percent profit is what you can expect in your top 1% of outcomes. So in your best contest sims, right? Like let's just take the top sim ROI here, 53%. On average, it looks like they break about even because their lineup sets are so strong. But then their top 1% outcomes, they're winning about $1,400. Now, this contest is $75 to max out, right? So then let's take somebody like a little bit further down, but still positive sim ROI, right? So let's take Z Roth. Maybe you're not the top sim ROIer, but maybe you're like pretty high, right? I mean, this guy's 34%, which is still in the top like 10 to 15 here, sim ROIers. So top 34% sim ROI, pretty strong set of lineups. Sim 99th profit is similar, right? For in the 1400 range, but sim median profit is negative about $15 here. So on average, this person loses about $15 every single time they play this contest, right? That is the in the middle, right? Like most median is like the exact 50th percentile, right? So that's what this person's doing. So I say this to say, you know, even top sim ROIers, their expectation is to lose money. We see -7, -2, +7, interesting, -4, -5, -9, -8, -8, -14, right? We see tons of negative outcomes. This is going to be what happens more often than not. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to get to those 99th percentile profits. So you are right about the way you can expect this to go most of the time. So I wouldn't say you're doing anything wrong, right? Like, this is just the way DFS is, like, unfortunately, right? And, you know, our bankroll simulations basically say the same thing. You know, like, I'm pulling up a graphic here on the screen. Like, this is what DFS bankroll sims look like, right? They are straight line up, lose, 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 slow trek down until you hit your next big jump, and then a trek down and then up, right? It is not this slow and steady climb up the mountain like poker, like sports betting, like some other forms of gambling. It is like, if you are not winning, if you're not binking a contest, you're basically always on a downswing is the way I think about it, until you hit your next big jump, right? So probably not doing anything wrong. I think the mini maxes are like generally good contests. They're often really big. From what I know, they're not super top heavy. You know, let's even just look. You know, I would consider top heavy anything that pays like a third to first, probably. And the big one is 10%. The next one's 10% to first, 12.5% to first, 12.5% to first. So I wouldn't consider the Minimax a top heavy contest. You know, I consider like the Flea Flicker a top heavy contest. The Millie Maker is pretty close, right? Like 28%. I would consider it top heavy. But yeah, I mean, overall, I like the Minimax. I would recommend continuing to play it. All right. Next question. If we use our own custom projection / ownership for a sport like college football, would you recommend creating a custom field based on that info to sim against? Yes, absolutely I would. So if you have your own projections and ownership, what I would do is I would upload those both into the app. So let's go back to this week. So we got a 13-game main slate tomorrow morning. So I would come into a build, right? I would right-click on it, rename it, say, you know, my field or whatever you want to call it. Come into the upload your projections and ownership. Make sure you're using those values via the gear icon, right? So use the gear icon in my proj and my own to select the sources, the whatever source you name it. And then I would come into my own, and then after changing the source, I would use match exposure to ownership. I like to set these values to 25. I think it ends up being a little bit better. And then if you want to be really granular, something that I'll do, which I don't do this, but if I did do this, I would, this is the way I would do it, is I would go down to like the lowest owned players. So like all these players that are, you know, 0.8, right? If you take 25% of that, it's going to end up being like, I don't know, 0.6 or something like that. I would set all these guys to zero as far as minimum exposure. And then max, their max is going to be, you know, 1.2 or like 1.3. I like to basically just open up the ranges for low projected players. So anybody in like the 0 to 1, I'll probably set them to minimum 0, maximum 2. Anybody in like 1%. This act, doing this action ends up helping the builder to meet your exposures, because it's not trying to force in, you know, one player into like one lineup in 5,000. When really these players are on a spectrum and they could come in 0% owned, or they could come in 2%. So the above and below exposures work pretty good, especially for higher owned players. But for the lowest owned players, it doesn't work great. So anyone from like 0 to 2% owned, I'll come in here and make these adjustments. If they're 2% owned or higher, I'll probably just leave it. But I think that you can help the builder to meet your exposures better by doing some manual work for players projected from 0 to 2% owned range. So some tips there. All right. Is there any simple way to explain what differences you think exist in a high stakes field lineup set used to sim a contest versus a low stakes one, flagship MME versus low stakes MME as an example? So what I would say is that this is the first thing I'll say, is that if you haven't watched the interview where Eric breaks this down, I would watch that first, right? So if you're on Ultimate, you can go to Saber School up here in the top right corner of the app. You can go to Ultimate Exclusives and then go down and watch this video, What Are Field Lineups? And Eric talks about the research that our team did to basically come up with the buckets, right? But effectively, the field is sharper and the field is better at getting to the best plays. And so those best plays are going to be typically higher owned. So for example, let's go to today and let's go to MLB. And remember that we back tested contests at these bucket tiers, stakes entries to come up with this information, right? So let's just go to pitchers. So if we come in here and look at pitchers for the main slate, sort by projection, and now let's just look at low stakes MME. All right. So our highest value pitcher I see is Jacob DeGrom at 2.24. And then the highest projected pitcher is Carlos Rodon at 2.18. I'm sorry, at a 20.27 projection. Their ownerships, respectively, Rodon 26, DeGrom 22. Now, if I go and change this to, say, a high-stakes MME, Rodon goes up about 7%, DeGrom goes up about 6%. So at these higher stakes, the players there are getting to more of just the better projected and the better value pitchers. Part of this is because typically these high-stakes contests are smaller. So you don't have to get as off the board to get a lineup that can win, right? I mean, you know, these high stakes MMEs are typically like 500 to 1,000 entries, as opposed to the flagship that is like, you know, 10 to 20,000 entries or more in an MLB contest like this. So the field is like, okay, I could just play more of the best plays and not be so concerned about having to beat out, you know, 10,000 plus entries. So that's part of it, right? Part of it is the users and the contest. So that's like a too long didn't read version of it. I'm probably not doing it justice, but if you watch that interview with Eric, you'll probably get a pretty good sense for what's going on. All right. Jumping over to the live YouTube chat, Brad said, "Hey, brother, can you show that filter you use at the beginning of the show and explain?" Yeah, I was just talking about like a, you know, I wouldn't read too much into it. It is just something so I don't have to view the lowest projected players or ever worry about them getting into my lineups. So it's super simple. You just go over the main slate. I just say do show me players with projection greater than 3. I uncheck defenses because I'm okay playing any defense on the slate. I do not care. You know, defenses in NFL are one of the most high variance positions. And oftentimes you'll look here, defense percentiles are generally very, very similar, even though the projections can vary here, right? So the lowest projected defense is 4.8 is the Patriots. Well, their 99th percentile is 18 points. And then if I come up here, the Eagles, who are probably like right in the middle of the pack, their 99th percentile is 19 points, right? Even though their projections are off about like 1.2 points, and the Eagles are much higher up on the list. So that's why I leave defenses off here. But aside from that, you know, it's just so I don't have to view those super low projected players or ever have to worry about them getting into my lineups. Sometimes you can get rid of, you know, some low salary tight ends that like might get in at that range. I'm not 100% sure, but I like to just protect against it. All right. Sam said, why isn't information such as sim median, maximum, etc. available with the pre-lock sim information? I almost think it is. So let's just go and create a custom contest sim for the flagship MME. Actually, I think we built lineups already for MLB today. So save some time not waiting for more lineups to be built. Did we do that? Okay, we didn't. Let's just go back to NFL. And we'll build 500. Kick this off. Brad said, thank you. You are welcome. And then, Brad, I can add you to the build review show for sure. All right. These lineups are just finishing up. Gonna run our contest sim. Okay, I actually don't think that same information is available from the post-contest sim that we were talking about. I'm not sure if it's just like a display thing, like there's just too much information to display, or where to show it, because those are like a lot of additional columns in the post-contest sim. So I'm not 100% sure. You know, this is probably like a good wish list item. Yeah, I mean, these are the only things that are available: ROI, win rate, cash rate, ROI, standard deviation, dupes. So what I could do is I could let the team know that people are asking for that post-contest sim information to be available pre-slate and kind of go from there. So let me take that one back to the team as a feature request. But right now, whatever is in this dropdown is what is available. All right, let me take one more pass in the Discord here. And looks like we're all set. Reminder, we do have the Build a Re-Show going live in about 30 minutes here. Do have a full list of people to get to today, so it should be a good one. But until then, thanks for tuning in, everybody. I'll see you all soon. So until then, take care. Thanks. Bye.